We must constantly look at things in a different way.
The Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast was created by two physical therapists out of the desire to learn more about the different educational roles in physical therapy and healthcare, and how healthcare education works by talking with educational leaders and people with different perspectives within physical therapy and across interdisciplinary lines on how education can be improved to disrupt the status quo of healthcare education. This is our journey, and thanks for listening. Are you a third-year physical therapy student that excels on tests when you have study guides, checklists, and deadlines? With all of the information available about how to prepare for the NPTE, it's easy to get disorganized and not feel prepared going into the big day. NPTE Prep Success is an online course that provides PT students easy-to-use study guides and step-by-step guidance through the NPTE preparation. To learn more, visit kylericeprep.com. Thank you again all for your continued support, and now for the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Brandon Pollan, and of course, as always, I'm joined by my other co-host, F. Scott Feel. Today, we are thrilled to bring three special guests to talk about a unique residency model that perhaps has really not received a lot of mainstream attention, and even a subject matter, to be honest, that probably has not received a lot of mainstream attention. But today, we have the pleasure of welcoming Dr. Aaron Labauer, Derek Nielsen, and Tyler Shelton to talk about the CASH PT residency from Labauer Consulting. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, Dr. Aaron Labauer is a doctor of physical therapy and licensed massage and bodywork therapist, along with being the owner of Labauer Physical Therapy LLC in Greensboro, North Carolina. He is the host of the CASH PT Lunch Hour podcast and the founder of Labauer Consulting, and now a two-time guest of the HGT podcast. We also have Dr. Derek Nielsen, who is a former resident of Aaron's CASH PT residency program and is now the CEO and founder of Kaizen Physical Therapy in Durham, North Carolina. And we are also welcoming Aaron's current CASH PT resident, Tyler Shelton, to kind of talk about the unique perspective currently going through the program. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and joining us this morning to talk about this. Do you think you could kind of each briefly give us a little bit of background on kind of who you guys are and kind of what's led you to where you're at today?
My name is Aaron Labauer, and the brief story is I started my healthcare career as a massage therapist, and doing massage therapy, I started, you know, by default, ended up working with a lot of people in, who'd been in chronic and persistent pain, had already seen PTs, chiropractors, surgery, et cetera, other massage therapists, and hadn't had a resolution to their problem. And that led me down the road of becoming a physical therapist so I could have a broader view of how to help my patients. And we moved from California to North Carolina, and then I went to PT school, and before I got out, I knew that there was no way I was going to be able to get a job working for someone else as a physical therapist here, treating patients the way that I wanted to treat them. And so I decided to start a cash-based physical therapy practice right out of PT school. And everyone told me I couldn't do it. It was a bad idea. It was even unethical. And now, 10 years in, my wife and I own Labauer Physical Therapy. We have multiple employees, and we're growing the business and scaling it.
So my name is Derek, and I'm pretty fresh out of school. I'm about a little over a year, and as I was going through school, through clinical rotations, I went through one rotation where I was treating four patients at one time. I was like, I can't do this. This isn't what I'm going to school for 7 years to do. So I was like, well, what can I do from here? And I found out-of-network cash-based PT. And, of course, Aaron's name popped up. There were a couple different other people that popped up. I was like, well, this is for me. And then as I started getting closer to graduation, I ended up reaching out to Aaron. And I can't exactly remember the whole story how it went. He had to remind me a couple of times, but I reached out to him because I just wanted to go down there and shadow him for a little bit. But then it ended up being, hey, you know, I see you have the CASH PT blueprint, but what's the chances I could end up coming down there and working for you? And that's when I went down there and worked for a year, and then I didn't plan on staying in North Carolina, but here I am in Durham, North Carolina.
And I'm Tyler. I've wanted to do something in the CASH PT world ever since even before graduating. Was doing just your regular type of mill outpatient PT, and wasn't enjoying myself. Didn't really feel like I was getting to treat patients the way that I wanted to, and having known a little bit about Cash PT, it was kind of frustrating being kind of on the outside looking in. So I set out to change that and see what I could do to get into the Cash PT world, and happen across a advertisement for the Cash PT residency. Yeah, filled it out that day.
Awesome. Well, gentlemen, it's pretty clear that Cash PT is starting to pick up momentum across the country. What are some reasons that you would say that you should try to go the Cash PT business model as compared to a traditional insurance-based model?
I'll go first. It always comes back to the patient. Like, you know, the reason why we go to school, the reason why we become PTs is because we want to help people out. And doing the in-network thing with reimbursements getting lower and lower, the only way you can get more money and stay afloat is by seeing more patients. And when you have to see more patients, the, you know, outcomes go down. And so ultimately, it really is about not being burnt out as a clinician and having the best outcomes. And when those two goals are in mind, when the patient is in mind, Cash PT out of network practice just makes sense.
Yeah, for me, I think that, I mean, there are some people, to me, like I say this to, you know, to the guys around me, it's like some people just getting off the couch is going to help them, you know, just getting up and getting in and doing some physical activity is going to help them. But then there's a big segment of the population where they're missing out on the attention, the being heard. Like patients there's no time for patients to be heard and tell their story, and they feel unsatisfied. And so there's that part of it. But there's also the part where I feel like when insurance is, I wouldn't say they're dictating treatment, but they're heavily influencing treatment by the way that they reimburse. And it's very hard for practice owners and physical therapists who understand who's on which insurance to say, okay, I can objectively and independently treat this patient the way that I think they need to be treated without influence by a third party. And I think that's very difficult as well. And so that's one of the big reasons that I got started in this model is, one, I knew no one was going to hire me to treat patients the way I wanted to treat them. For an hour using my hands, I knew it was going to be multiple patients an hour, and, you know, pressure to, you know, perform, specific, you know, certain numbers of units per hour, et cetera, which I don't want that pressure. And I also don't want the pressure of knowing this person's insurance is reimbursing $150 and this one's $45, because invariably they'll ended up getting treated differently.
Yeah. I just know, having recently come from that model, it was really frustrating to be given 30-minute time slots to see patients and be told, well, yeah, you're allowed to see them for 30 minutes, but you can actually see them for longer as long as you're kind of doubling up. And then being told, well, if there's a wait list, you need to go ahead and put more people on the schedule and just double up or in several spots throughout the day. And, you know, plenty of people can do that. I just don't think that you can do it and have the best outcome for the patient, which is what you're supposed to be there for. I think a lot of clinics like that will kind of tagline themselves as, we care about the patients and all that. And I just don't see how that's consistent with that tagline if you're being told to see several people at the same time and you can't really give full attention to each patient. I got a hard time for not, one, using my text more. They wanted me to keep people around for longer and, like, I don't have them go ride a bike or do some exercises that they already knew. They wanted me to, yeah, that was a big one. They wanted me to keep people around longer, and I kind of refused to do that. I was like, they said that there was an incentive to do it. You get more money if you see people for more units, but I was like, well, then I'm just never going to see that because I don't feel good about that.
There's a lot of different reasons to do this model. And there's a lot of good reasons to be in network. And a lot of people get better with the in-network model. Like I said, and there's a lot of physical therapists out there that are amazing in that model. But I find that when people choose to come see us and they decide, okay, I'm going to plunk down 150 plus, I'm going to plunk down $1,000, $1,500 up front, knowing what I'm paying for my care, they have bought in, they participate, they don't need a lot of encouragement to do their home exercise program. They actually do more than we ask. And they get better really quick because they're invested. And the more you pay, the more you play, or the more you pay attention. And it's the same in physical therapy as it is in coaching, even in the consulting side. It's like, it's even in life, the more you pay for something, the more you're going to value it, the more you're going to participate and use it. And I think that makes a big, difference in who we get, because we're getting people that are ready to participate in their healing process rather than people that have been told by my spouse or job or physician, I'll say doctor, but physician is the word I prefer, to get physical therapy. I don't know why I'm here. And part of that's, you know, the conversation we have, and part of that's people are actively looking for a solution to their problem rather than just passively being there because they were told to be there.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And, you know, Aaron, I'm curious, since the topic of today is kind of focusing kind of on this unique Cash PT residency. So I got to ask, first and foremost, I'm curious, what drove your decision to actually create a specific Cash PT residency? And how did you go about setting that up initially to make it happen?
2 years ago, I started prepping to hire another PT. I hired an administrative assistant first, Sarah, and she came on. I started the hiring process about this time. It took me about 3 months to get that system set up and hire her. I hired her, and within 3 or 4 weeks, I started looking for a PT. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have, like, I mean, I got a list of thousands of PTs. I know, I'm like, someone's going to want this job. And I had a few applications come through, but no one was the right fit. And I was even had one guy get on an interview, and then over the weekend, he decided to take some other job. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. I mean, whatever, this is taking me back 5 more months longer than I thought it was going to happen. And in that time, Derek had contacted me, and I said, look, man, he said, well, can I come just volunteer for you between the time when we finish school and I take the board exam for 5 weeks? And I was like, well, there's nothing for you to do because you're not a licensed PT. You're not an official student, and you can't treat patients, and I don't have like hot packs and stuff for you to, you know, do. You can clean the toilets. And so I said, you know, like, I don't want to do that. You know, I said, come down for a week. And he was like, well, I really want to do more. And we just went back and forth over the course of probably a month or 2 months. And I finally was like, well, when a couple of these interviews didn't kind of pan out, I said, look, if you can give me at least 6 months, you know, but preferably a year's commitment to come work here, you know, I'll bring you on. And he had mentioned that he was looking at some of these other, like another business residency or some other fellowship type of program, postgraduate, but he'd rather work with me. And I said, well, look, I can bring you on as an employee. And we just kind of came up with it in our conversation to come up with, like, oh, well, I'll do a residency program. And I had thought about it prior, but I was like, I don't know that that was really going to work or that people wanted to do that. And so we just kind of built it. And it's become a really great program. I think that the first, you know, few months and even half of the year is more focused on clinical. The second half is focused on, you know, building out business systems and getting ready to, you know, launch your business. And I hope I answered both your questions.
Yeah, for sure. And Derek, you know, with you wanting to open your own cash pay place, what was the deciding factor that kind of drew you toward the residency program and made you go down that residency path?
Well, the fact that Aaron was already established. I was looking for somebody that was already established. You know, I've always tried to find mentors. I don't believe in trying to reinvent the wheel. I believe in trying to, you know, find somebody that's doing or done what you want to do and just hop on their back and learn from them. So I, you know, in school, I wanted to own a business. I just didn't know. I didn't know anything about the out-of-network cash pay PT thing until I started taking on 4 patients an hour. And I was like, I can't do this. And so Aaron was established. And obviously, he has an online presence, teaches his systems and different things to people. So his name invariably came up when I started Google searching. And, you know, just reaching out to him and talking to him. And I was like, well, he already knows what he's doing. He's teaching people how to do it. So heck, let me give it a try and learn from him.
And Tyler, how about you? What was your decision-making process with going through the residency program?
I was kind of along the same lines. I was really looking for a mentor. When I got my first job, they told me I was going to have a mentorship, and it turned out to be I was allowed to go every other weekend for just the morning one time to see a guy who knew a little bit about what I wanted to get into. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And then, you know, on top of that, I did want to get into the cash PT world. I wasn't sure if I wanted to open my own practice or not. But after, you know, listening to all the stuff from Paul, Aaron, those are the two main ones that I listen to a lot. I really kind of got the itch and I was like, yeah, I can do this. This is something that I'm really interested in. And, but I didn't want to just fly into it all by myself. Sort of what Derek said, I wanted to sort of latch onto somebody that already knew exactly what they were doing and get just the best mentorship possible for a year and then strike out on my own and do my own thing.
No, that's fantastic, guys. So, you know, Aaron, I know you had kind of mentioned before a little bit, like part of it's clinical, then part of it's how to set up, learn the ins and outs of a cash business. But what exactly, like if we want to get into the deep and dirty specifics of it, like what does this residency program specifically entail from like layout, cost, benefits to the resident?
Yeah, so what we do is like the first week, Tyler and Derek both basically, maybe even first 2 weeks, shadowed me, or Tyler shadowed Derek and me, through the whole kind of patient process. So it's getting comfortable treating in our style, treating in a way that they kind of I direct. So I've got this particular, you know, treatment style that I do. It's still broad based, but at least, you know, kind of five or six things that I like to accomplish in every treatment session. Both of these guys went to continuing ed courses that I recommended prior to coming, not because I asked them to. Even before they were hired, they both asked me, what continuing ed courses do I need to go to? What courses would you recommend? Before I hired both of them, they had both signed up on their own dime to go to the courses that I'd recommended. So to me, that's like almost a no-brainer, you know, like green flag for, you know, let's get this person on board. Derek told me even, he's like, Aaron, you underestimate the value of the clinical part of this program in teaching these guys skills that they didn't learn in PT school, you know, soft tissue, hands-on, mobilization, manipulations, but also how to interact with patients in a meaningful way and how to talk to people on the phone to get them to book and buy an appointment. And we just do a lot of training. So there's a lot of video trainings that we do. We create them I'm creating them as we go on along. If there's something that Tyler didn't know that Derek already did, and Tyler and I went through it, okay, so I record the whole session and I put that up in our training spreadsheet or vault, and so that these guys can go back to it, or the next person can come in and view it first before we do it in person, which speeds up the learning process. And then we talk on a consistent basis during the day. Hey, I've got a question. What do you think about this? These guys will join me in evaluations or treatments when they're available. And a big part of my goal is to pass off patients to them easily so that I can have more time to grow the business side of things. Then more specifically later on, when we get into the business aspect, even like Tyler's going to continue ed this weekend. You know, Derek went to multiple while he was here. So there's a continual learning process on the clinical side. And then business-wise, it's once the clinical side is comfortable, phones are comfortable, the whole administrative process is comfortable, which, as I said, we have training videos for all of that. It's okay, now let's start working on your business. So when you're downtime, when you're not treating patients and not on the phone with a potential customer, then it's okay, what are the systems you need to start putting into place? So I get them into my initial program, the Cash PT Blueprint. I have provided Derek with basically all my systems to run a business. Derek had enough time and thought to put in every system and then say, okay, I want to do it again. And I also want to use a different service to use it because I like it better. So then he went and rebuilt it a second time and refined it even more. So he's way more, I wouldn't say he's more prepared than he needs to be, but he's set up for like super success to have everything ready, website, emails, pretty much all his promotional stuff, all his treatment stuff. We just got him super connected with people where he's at. And then it's training and mentoring through that whole business growth process as well through my mastermind group and through my private Facebook group that he's a part of. And it's just kind of continual feedback, questions, answers. And he pretty much has a duplicate with his stamp on it of a business that we've proven that was successful over the last 10 years and even 20 years since I started as a massage therapist. So that's the short answer to what we do.
Awesome.
Awesome. And Derek, you know, having been through the program now and finished, you know, what would you say are some of the biggest strengths and limitations for this residency program in regards to the ability to open and run your own cash PT business now that you're kind of out and running?
So, well, first, the other thing I would add on, well, I guess it would be a huge strength is what Aaron was saying is that it's continual. So, you know, even though that I was there for a year, I mean, the relationship that I built with Aaron and the fact that he's teaching other people and he's continually learning and implementing new things he's learning, it's not necessarily just a 1 year residency. It's going to be something that I continually learn through him because he's teaching other people the same type of model. And so by him learning and me listening to what he's learning, I'm continuing to learn through him through the whole time. So I would say that's a big strength is that it's not just a 1 year thing. I look at it more as a 10 plus year thing where, I mean, I don't see him getting out of the consulting thing anytime soon. And I'm going to just tag along with him that entire time. So that's a huge strength to it. I would say, one weakness is, and I think that Aaron will continue to refine this as he goes along here, but the one weakness is he's super busy. And sometimes when you're like, okay, I do have a question, you know, it's hard to get a hold of him because he's in his office and he's doing his thing. But that's not to say he doesn't set you up with the answers. So like he gives you videos, he gives you, you know, different instructional type things to go through and the answers are all there. But sometimes you're just like, I don't want to go through all that. I just want an answer. I just want to ask it and get an answer. So I would say, you know, while I look at that as it's not necessarily a weakness, but it's a weakness for me is I would have liked to have a little bit more time to ask some questions. But that's not to say that they weren't there.
Right. So essentially what I'm hearing is we just need to clone more Aarons and everything right. will be fine.
Right.
Yep. So, but I think, you know, he's kind of working on that with you guys. So Tyler, as somebody who's in the program currently, what are you seeing as far as some strengths and weaknesses?
So it's kind of hard for me to speak to the business side of it just because I just started. I am in the clinical phase of it. And I honestly, I don't know that I've been around long enough to notice any weaknesses just because I'm so happy to be here and out of the setting that I was in. I'll agree with Derek. He is busy. There's not yet been a time where I haven't felt like I could go get a quick answer if I needed it. But again, I've only been here for such a short amount of time. One of the biggest strengths, though, is that clinically, I feel better about myself in the first month and week that I've been here than I did for the first 8 months, 9 months that I was out of school. And in those months, I wasn't just slacking and not doing anything, going with the flow of the clinic. I was in, I think five continuing ed courses. I was constantly reading textbooks, which is so not me. And just doing everything that I could to get ahead of the game, because I didn't feel like I was getting any help from any person or anyone that could provide me those answers. So I was going and trying to get them myself. And then here I'm still doing those things. I'm still, like you said, I'm taking a course this weekend and I still do things like read textbooks and everything. But it's a lot easier to implement that stuff because I have somebody who treats a similar style than I do to bounce ideas off of and to grow from. And I don't have to just hope I'm doing something right and have nobody around to tell me that I'm doing it wrong. I have somebody. And Derek as well. Derek was in the room with me for most of the time that I was here for the first month before he left. So they've both been a tremendous help to me. And I don't know that I would be as skilled clinically right now if I didn't have them to help me out with that stuff.
Yeah, I think those are some pretty powerful points there, especially with what you both said. And, you know, Aaron, I'm kind of curious, what changes are you looking to make to the residency program to continue to provide a high-quality experience for the residents or kind of even ideas for further expansion if there's any?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think the upcoming changes that I'd like to make are, and this is part of what one of the things Tyler's working on that Derek started is, so with Derek, it was we got to compile all the training stuff. Now with Tyler, it's like, now we got to put it into buckets so that there's a clear kind of process of, you know, what you need before you show up, what you need to do in those first few weeks and continual learning. So I'm creating a course for the resident, as well as my plan is to hire another full-time physical therapist who is going to be here not as a resident, but as a full-time physical therapist, and train them in the same way I've trained the resident, so that after a year or so, they can be the person that leads the resident and is there for the quick answers or quick questions, where I'll still be here to do some of the training and hands-on training and clinical and business stuff, but we'll have another person here who's here on a continual basis. It's not rotating in and out, that can also be a consistent mentor to these people. So, and yeah, I'm busy, but we go out to lunch quite often, right?
That's some of the best times right there for sure.
Yeah.
So guys, just your own personal opinions now. We're going to switch gears a little. How should cash PT business models be incorporated into physical therapy education?
Oh, I'll start with that one. It needs to be taught as a viable option alongside the $300,000 loan and 5,000 square foot facility. But I understand that there's not a lot of time to teach business in a PT program. They need to teach that here's all the options. I mean, they even need to teach that it's an option to not even be a clinician and teach other physical therapists, you know, through education and online. And they're just not doing that. So I get it. Like, it's going to be 10 years behind the time or more. But I think that showing people what the possibilities are is more powerful than teaching them how to write a business plan when the teachers never really opened their own practice.
Right. It almost makes them critical thinkers at that point. Like, here's five or six options. Do your own research, come to your own conclusion, and pick your path. Like, what do you think? You know,
exactly.
I think, and that just goes back to, we need more critical thinking.
Right.
No, and more clinical reasoning.
That's true. And that's even interesting, because that's kind of when we had Paul Goff on the podcast back last year. He said, even if we do business, more business education in school, he's like, what kind of advice are you going to get anyway? He's like, most of the time, it's not going to be from someone who's actually live doing it. He's like, you have to hope and pray that I have just have the goodness out of my heart to do all that often. But he's like, I got businesses to run. I can't do that to that commitment.
Right. Right. Exactly.
It would also be great if you had the option to do some clinical rotations in and out of network or cash-based clinic. But I was never told that any time in school by any professor that was even really an option. But it'd be cool if they could line some up. They could do some affiliations with them.
No, that's a really good point there, Derek. Tyler, what are your thoughts, man?
So when I was in school, my big takeaway from our business class that we had for, I think it was just a small semester, was don't do it. Don't open a business, because it's more trouble than it's worth. I mean, the professor didn't come right out and say that. She was really enthusiastic about business, but everything she said was just another hit against it. It was really depressing, because I kind of wanted to open up a practice when I went into PT school. I was like, well, that's going to be my end game. Obviously, I won't do it right off the bat, but I'm certainly going to shoot for that. And then I took that class, and she was like, all right. And we even did like a whole business model where you set one up yourself and saw how much money it was going to cost and see how to run it. And it sucked. I was really upset after that class, and I was like, well, I guess I'm not opening a business. So. and then before I graduated, I got turned on to the idea of opening a cash-based business. And not to say that's the only way to open a business, but in terms of like low overhead and getting things done the way you want to do it, as opposed to what third-party payers or insurance wants to do it, it's definitely the best way.
And I think the points that you bring up and kind of echoing Aaron's comment is that being exposed to the possibilities, like, it doesn't have to be in that old model to this doomsday kind of approach. There's other ways that you can do it and still be possible that don't require a lot of overhead or a huge amount of upfront cost to get started. So I think, right. I agree with you guys. I think exposing that, but of course realizing that at least in my class, there are very few people that actually want to go the business route. And that's fine. I mean, everyone has free choice to do what they want. But I think there should at least be some exposure to it, so that those that are interested at least have, oh, I'm interested in that. Let's choose now, where do I go to get that next level?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And I think the unfortunate thing is people end up running there because they got a pink slip and they couldn't find a job that they liked. They're about to get burned out. And then they find it through other channels. And I think it's just there in the beginning to say, oh, this is a possibility. This is one path. I think that's a lot of what PT education is about, is not teaching us to be experts in cervical manipulation, but giving us exposure to it that was even the justification for teaching us ultrasound. You're going to see this out in the clinic somewhere. You need exposure to it. And I'm just like, really? Come on. You know, but if they people have exposure to the possibilities, then I think that'd be just tremendously helpful.
No, indeed. So guys, it's been a great discussion. I think I've definitely learned a lot about this program and such, and I hope others listening as well do as well. You know, the question we like to ask every single guest at the end of every episode is, if you could change one aspect of healthcare education, whether that be DPT or other healthcare provider related, which aspect would you guys change and how would each of you change it?
All right. Well, one aspect of healthcare education, I would focus more on like the real world, and maybe that is bringing in more people that are actively practicing clinicians than people that are studying clinical. That was just my experience, is that there, yes, our professors did, you know, clinical help, but they weren't working with regular patients. It was almost all per diem. It was, you know, other stuff. And I just felt like they were a little detached from the patients that I had already been treating myself as a massage therapist. So I'd say bring in more people like the three of us to do some teaching on how we treat patients and patient interaction, and rather than asking how many stairs you have and you have a guardrail on your bed.
I would say that they need to be able to allow us to specialize in school, because when I come out of school with a $200,000 loan and I feel like I'm going to the treatment room and I'm lost, you know, I should be able to come out of school feeling I'm ready to treat patients. I know how to get them better. And I don't have this big, broad spectrum of how do I treat peds, how do I treat neuro, how do I treat all of this stuff when I know I'm not going to treat that stuff. You know, I'm going through education, I should be able to specialize in school, especially when I'm paying $200,000.
Yeah, I agree, because I've learned pretty much all the clinical skills that I use, maybe besides a little bit of patient interaction in continuing education courses. And that shouldn't be how it is. I think they should allow you to specialize. And then kind of going back to my point from earlier, I think they should expose you to all different types of businesses. I think exposure to the different types of fields that you can go into is important, because I don't think everybody knows their options when they get out of school. And I've even heard a program director say that we create minimally competent physical therapists. And yeah, I get that you're not going to be the best you're ever going to be when you get out of school, but the goal should be a little higher than that. And if specialization is what needs to happen for that to be successful, then I think that's where we need to go.
But the one last point is that they teach to the test. So it all starts with that. It all starts with the test. They teach to the test. So what has to change is they have to change what they're going to test this on.
It's definitely not an easy solution to all this. And there's so many other factors. I mean, just from doing the podcast, I've learned that there's so many avenues that have an influence on this. Do you guys think you could mind telling us where everyone, our guests can find you on online or social media?
Yeah, you can find me at aaronlabauer.com. And if you're interested in the Cash PT residency, it's labauerconsulting.com/residency.
You can find me website for the PT clinic is kaizenpt.com, or just Facebook, my name, Derek Nielsen.
And I'm on Facebook and Instagram, just my name, Tyler Shelton.
Well, perfect, guys. Well, again, thank you all so much. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Brandon. Thanks, Scott.
Access to healthcare is one of the largest issues facing both providers and patients, as millions of people worldwide lack timely and affordable access to healthcare. Anywhere Healthcare, a telehealth platform, is a simple, low-cost option for providers and patients that eliminates the barriers to access to all kinds of healthcare. To find out more, check out anywhere.healthcare, which is available in our show notes. And if you use the code HET in all caps when you email to sign up, you'll save 25% off the total cost.
Thank you for attending class today, and we hope that you learned something and gained value from the content.
If you'd like to schedule office hours with us, feel free to add us on Twitter at HET Podcast, on Instagram, HET Podcast, on Facebook, The Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast, and the homepage, healthcareeducationtransformationpodcast.com.
And for those of you following along in the syllabus, extra credit can be obtained by liking us, sharing us, and leaving a review.
Let's continue our journey up Mount Educational Success as lifelong learners.